Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
When it comes to sports talk in Chicago, and sports talk means the Chicago Bears right now because the Bears have started their season and the Bears are the big sports dogs in this sports crazy town, you have a few various types. And one of these is our guest today, Chicago Bears great Ed Obradovich. When it comes to the types, the pundits, the sports talkers, you've got the beat writers who cover the teams and the senior writers with great reach across the league and great respect, like Dan Pompey of The Athletic and Brad Biggs of The Trib. And we have some excellent radio sports pundits in Chicago, like Dave Kaplan and Mully and Haw. And there are just a few who sound like milk drinkers, who never played ball and couldn't play ball and didn't play ball. But you know what they did? They collected baseball cards. And they played sports on video games. And when they talk X's and O's, you might get the feeling that it's all theory and plans. You know what Mike Tyson said about plans? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Now, some pundits don't talk theory as much as experience. Men and women, tough competitors who played at the highest level of their sport. And if they played NFL football, then they got in the dirt, reached across the line, and knocked somebody's teeth out. Or they were punched in the mouth themselves, and walking back to the huddle, they spit some bloody chiclets on the ground and got ready for the next play. And that's the kind I like. That's the kind of ball player Chicago likes. And I like OB, because he's all Chicago. OB and Bears Hall of Famer Dan Hampton are back on WGN radio doing pre- and post-game reports. Their post-game stuff is the best sports radio you'll find anywhere. They're both champions. They don't like to lose. They demand professional effort. And when the Bears don't show that effort, the volcanoes erupt. Jeff Carlin doesn't erupt. He's often quite calm. And that's good for me. He's executive producer at WGN Radio, my friend, master baker, and constant co-host of this podcast. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, and columnist at the... All right, it's been a long time, and it ended badly. And I got used to saying one thing, but let me say it again. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, and columnist at johncassnews.com. And where are you with OB about to talk about Bears football and the season beginning? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
And as I told you, our special guest is Ed Obradovich, Chicago Bears great, commentator on WGN, pre- and post-game, hottest radio, especially when they lose. I'm sorry, but
it is just unbelievably good. You know, for fans, they get all excited. Oh, the first game. Oh, it's wonderful. Let's go to the let's grill some brats. But I'm thinking about the broadcasters and the analysts Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. How does it get long, like, say, in November, if they're not going to the playoffs? Does it get long?
No, it doesn't, John. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. It really doesn't. I take every game as every game. There's only 17 games this year, okay, as opposed to 16 the prior years and 14 the prior years before that. But I'll tell you what, though. They're as the football players, and I think the fans understand it, like every game counts. Even if you lose, say you go one win and three losses, you're not out of it. You know, you still got a chance. And I think the way the coaches, ownership, the coaches, management, all, and especially the players, play it like it's your last damn game of your life. And when I say that, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I played with some of the greatest players that ever played this game and played against some of the greatest players who have ever played this game, i.e. Dick Butkus. Dick Butkus, I tell you what, he went out there. It didn't matter what game, who they were playing, what time it was. He went out to win, as did the majority of us on that football team. So I think what's important, Johnny, is that you – if you don't have it, you got to get it, because that's the only way you're going to win a Super Bowl. You cannot accept defeat. You can't. I don't care if it's in the middle of the third quarter and you're down 17 points. You can't accept it. And if you do, get the hell out of the game.
Ed, I love that. That's the thing that I think is missing these days. And I always wondered, is it, you know, guys these days make, not insane money, but they make insane money by comparison to what they made when you played. And do you think that that the money has kind of corrupted that drive, that hungriness that you guys had back then compared to now, where the guys are like, oh, you know, hey, at the end of the day, I get to go home and I got to drive home in my Lamborghini to my palatial estate outside the city. And I'll come back on Monday and work out a bunch and do it again next Sunday. I mean, do you feel that has any impact on it?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Maybe leave the Lamborghini on the side of the road when you're driving home.
I think there are some athletes. I don't think ownership, all right, the head coaches do not have those thoughts. And if they do, that's a crying shame. But money, yeah. But once you get on that football field, it's everything. Everything changes. And do I think that some people making so much money, all of a sudden, hey, what was the quality of his play? Boy, you remember that guy last year? You know, he was all over the field doing and making all kinds of plays, and he holds out and he gets, you know, a $25 million 3-year contract, 20 of it guaranteed, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes these guys, you can't find them. So there is some truth to what you said. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people. You think Tom Brady, he doesn't worry about that money. He comes out there and he gives it every play, every thought about his winning. Aaron Rodgers, the same way. Okay? So there's the league is full of those people. And I think a few of the ones.
Ken Brooks.
Pardon?
I'm sorry. A fan just came up and said hello. I'm like instead of doing the pregame at a sports bar, we're doing the pregame at, on the street. And some people said just wanted to say hi. I'm sorry, Ed. Pardon me.
No. But Ed, the point taken. I mean, players in your era were certainly underpaid for the sacrifices they made. And I didn't mean it. I mean, geez. But just that's just a thought. It's always kind of a felt to me that some players, and like you said, there are tons of players who just do it for the love, or not just do it, but that's what drives them. But I just always curious to get your take on that versus now. And I clearly understand that the passion inside Ed Obradovich is way beyond anything I've seen on the field these days. It's really more my point.
Jeff, well, the thing is, what you had mentioned is that there are players who, does that money affect? Yes, there are. But like a couple of the IE things, you know, with Brady and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, those guys live and breathe victory, okay? They don't live and breathe defeat. And let me take it a giant step further. I'm going to tell you something. If you go out there with that kind of an attitude and you don't perform at what you know you can do out on that football field for basically that supposedly 60 minutes of football, then you should get out of the game, because I'll tell you what, you can die on that football field. Chuck Hughes, who played for the Detroit Lions, 26 years old, married, three little kids. He dropped dead on the field 10 yards right in front of me. And, boy, you want to talk about taking a game serious? And if these kids today, if they, like, money come in and involve what their performance is going to be on the field, and they're not going to play at their best and putting other teammates at risk, you better get the hell out of the game.
I saw that play. I was a boy watching that game. And Butkus tackled Hughes. It was a fair tackle. There wasn't a cheap shot. He hit him hard. But something was wrong with his heart, I believe. Right, Ed?
John, he got when you came over the middle against the Bears defense, you basically never made it across. And I think the thing that you're referring to was also another Detroit player, a tight end. I can't pull up his name right now, but he was coming across the field and Dick caught him, John. And I tell you, it was like an atom bomb went off. I mean, the sound was unbelievable, and he laid flat on the ground. The Detroit's tight end, and sometimes, you know, you see guys shaking off. This guy didn't move for about 4 or 5 minutes. I tell you, I couldn't believe. Dick just flattened him. But with Chuck Hughes, the day that he got hit, the play before, he was coming across the middle. Benny McCray caught him and flattened him. And then it was absolutely the next play, John, it was over with. It was incomplete. And he comes walking back to the huddle, and he just went whoosh, just walking and collapsed and fell forward right on his face.
I got to say, Ed, that's one of the things I love about guys like yourself, guys who are in it for the love of the game. And I know most players, even if they're, you know, hey, they're doing it because it's what they're good at, they can recall those moments. You know, we with WGN, we carry a lot of, obviously, the Blackhawks, so we talk to a lot of the players and even the older players. And everyone, there was like, I remember that play. Oh, absolutely. It was this guy was, he was over here. He was on my left. That was over here. And that is just so crazy to me that in the heat of the game, the passion of the game, the motion of the game, that those indelible marks sit in your memory forever. And Ed, I mean, you've it's been a long time since you played, but to have that stuff in your head.
Level.
Yeah. I mean, it blows me away, because I don't have that kind of recall in what I did, you know, 10 years ago. And it just, it elevates what you guys do to the point of being like, hey, this is a different level, because every play is a battle. And Ed, I mean, do you just at times just kind of recall stuff at random and just think, oh man, let's play, and then enjoy it live? I mean, I feel like you guys are living in the moment every day.
Well, I can go back to that moment again up in Detroit, you know, with Chuck Hughes. Oh my God. And he was a fine young man. I'll tell you what, when I saw him, and when we turned around, and what happened, they had no timeouts and we were winning the game, and a field goal wouldn't have won the game for him or tied it or whatever. Okay. They had to score a touchdown to beat us. And when he went down, they had no timeouts. So when he hit the ground, and I saw him, I could visualize him right now. And I saw him, and his head bounced, and it went to his left side, and his eyes were open. So immediately I started screaming, "He's faking it! He's faking it! That dirty rat! He's faking it! They're trying to get a timeout." And Butker started screaming, saying the same thing. So we're all hollered at the referees that he's faking it. Little did we know, I think that kid was, God almighty, I think he was dead before he hit the ground. 26 years old.
But we can hear in your voice, and that's one of the things that all Bear fans love about you, Ed, is in your voice, even after so many years, we can hear the immediacy and the passion and the desire for the Bears to be good again and be excellent, and leave their mark. And I think that's what you bring to the broadcast. That's why when you were on immediately after the game, it was probably the best radio I've ever heard in my life.
Hands down. Hampton,
yeah, hands down. There was like a feeling of you were like you were with guys who played, and you could hear the pain in your voice because both of you understood what it took to reach that plateau of to be great, to win a championship, and to never stop trying to be great.
John, you couldn't explain that better.
And that's one of those things I think about, you know, in the modern game, and obviously the modern game versus when you played, Ed, is that I feel like, you've explained it, you know, there's that passion, there's a drive, it was the win, you know, and position players they do a little more, but they didn't get that credit. It was all about the guy throwing the ball, the guy catching the ball, the guy running the ball. And
yeah,
you always realize, okay, I mean, everyone was talks about, oh, middle linebacker, he was the guy, you know, you watched him, he roamed the field. But there were so many, you know, every player on the Bears back in the day had that drive, that energy, that desire to beat the crap out of the other guy and walk away with a W. And I just love, and I think, and everybody, you know, when they find out you and Hamp are doing pre and post game on WGN, they think, well, what the hell have I been doing on Sundays before and after the games?
Right.
And you know, last season, unfortunately, you guys were moved away from Sundays for some odd reason. And now this year, you're back. And I implore everybody listening to our podcast, whether you're a football fan or not, you got to tune in, and you can check it out on the web. If you're not local, catch Hamp and OB doing their pre and post, because the passion alone will drive you to want to do whatever you do in your regular day life to 110%, because it is just so, so interesting to see you guys react to a modern game and how you guys react. It's just so refreshing compared to the other coverage where it's, you know, armchair quarterbacks who never touch the field and thinking about, oh, hey, I would have done this better, I would have played that XO better, whatever it is. And it's XO, most of it's XO nonsense, guys, yeah. Right? It's just nonsense, right, compared to what you guys do. So, Ed, I love it. I mean, I can't tell you how much my family loves it. It's just so much better than anything else out there.
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say, Jeff. And Johnny, let me just say this. You know, again, it's such a career. Like when I played, in the majority of my career was all through the '60s. Okay.
Right.
And all the pundits in this country say, what was the most violent decade of football? Well, it was unanimous. It was the '60s was voted the most violent decade of football. And Johnny and Jeff, when I may have mentioned this before, and that when I played in early '60s and middle '60s, a career in the National Football League lasted 2 years. That's two as in two. 2 years. And so when I get passionate about it, and the things that have happened, I've had Brian Piccolo, Willie Gallimore, Bo Farrington, teammates die. I have an opponent die on the field. We win a world championship. And the one thing I can say, I mean, with certainty, you've got to have people. And 11 on defense and 11 on offense going every play, every time to win a world championship. And why do I know that? Because we was there. We made it to the world championship and we won it. And the same thing with Dan Hampton. And a lot of these guys that come out today, well, they didn't make it this year. Well, they'll do it next year. No. That's not the thought process. The thought process, again, and not to talk in circles, Johnny and Jeff, for God's sakes, is not of 17 games. Not 162, not 89, not whatever the hell it is, how many games people play. All right, it's a short time. And I mentioned the things that can happen on that football field. You better be taking it seriously. And you better be thinking world champion, okay? You're not going to play for an 8-8 record, a 9, I'll say like a 10-7 record now, or whatever it might be. That's not acceptable from day one. And I tell you what, in the last several years, they've had a defense that could actually dominate a game. And actually, when you get to Super Bowl, the odds would give you a chance that you're going to win because of your defense. We don't get there. We don't get there because of an offense. And why? What was one of the big problems? Offensive line. What Bingo. Was one of the big problems last year? Offensive line. The year before, offensive line. The year before that, offensive line. If you take Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and you put them behind our offensive line, how long do you think they'd last? How long do you think they'd last?
They need a new helmet every week.
John, I can tell you this right now. Aaron Rodgers wouldn't put up with it, and neither would Tom Brady. Okay? And we still have a defense that you can win with. We still do. Are they as good as they were 3 years ago, 4 years ago? No. No, they're not. But they're good enough because all the rules are give it all to the offense. But I'll tell you what. You've got to have five guys up front. I don't care who the quarterback is back there. If they can't keep that quarterback upright because it's a passing league, we will not win a world championship. And for some reason, they can't figure this out in Chicago. Somebody tell me I'm wrong.
We've seen the offensive line, the Swiss cheese offensive line of the past. I'm wondering now with, I'm not going to second guess the ownership. I think the owner, I want the Bears to win for the Bears first, for the Bears players, for the organization, and for Virginia McCaskey. Okay? That's what I want.
I agree with you.
But I see we drafted a rookie. We got rid of a veteran left tackle. They did. And we brought in a rookie, and the rookie gets hurt at left tackle. And since then, I don't know what the hell is going on with the line. How are they going to be able to protect an older quarterback like Andy Dalton, let alone a kid who's, showing up in a regular season game is not the same as playing preseason where all the fans say, you should be starting. Start him now. It's a different game when it's in the regular season. So where's the offensive line now, Ed? What do you see?
Well, there's a huge problem. When you're going back to talking about the draft this past season, we moved up to get that tackle. I believe he's from, I want to say Missouri or Nebraska or somewhere. Jeff, I'm not quite sure.
He's hurt.
But I'll tell you what, John, here's the thing. The kid, I don't even think he, I don't know how many practices he even attended this year with the Bears. Okay. Right. But here's the thing. We give up a second round, I think a third, a fourth, a fifth or something else to move up to get him. Are you aware the last three games that he played in college, he did not play? I mean, the last three games that were played, he did not play. And you know why he didn't play? Because of his back. And they just operated on him, 14 days ago? Man. Where'd they operate? They operated on his back. Like all of a sudden, nobody knew that this kid had a severe problem, that he couldn't even finish the last three games of his college career, and you give up a bunch of draft choice to move up to get him, and the kid is just had an operation 2 weeks ago, and why? Because of his back?
And that's Tevin Jenkins, Oklahoma State,
For any athlete, the back is critical, but especially for an offensive lineman, all their backs are bad over time.
Sure.
Just the nature of the stance and the play But this kid, how do you, you can't even, he has to rebuild himself.
And that's crazy. Like, Ed, I want to get your take on that, because you feel like the college game has become, there's much more pressure on it. It's built up to this point where it's almost its own quasi NFL piece. I mean, it does rival the NFL in its fandom and its the money spent on advertising, all that stuff. Do you feel like, right, you know, if guys come out of college after four grueling years, that they now jump into the league? I mean, that's a tough hurdle to come over. And John, or Ed, rather, forgive me, but I mean, when you were playing, guys, there wasn't that much intensity about college football. Am I right?
Oh, no. No, it was there. Oh, yeah. It was there. I mean, you know, when we played Northwestern or Wisconsin, and then especially like Ohio State, because Ohio State is basically, you're in and you're out. They're always on top. So it was always with Ohio State, you want to go there and take them down. And so, no, that intensity that was in college. At that time, it's just, I think, Jeff, you know, the television, who's grown? Television has grown.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it is the communications in this country has grown. My God, instantly you know everything, and the buildup of all these games and the hype and all that. Of course, that wasn't that much back then, but in today's game, my God, it seems like, you know, a college game is like a world championship.
Right.
Ed, if we could just shift gears slightly for a second. In the old days, maybe you'd get up and have a big, you know, on game day, you'd have a steak and eggs like 4 hours before the game. I don't know what the nutrition was like. I guarantee it's not like it is now. But what is your life like now? Before a game, what do you do to get ready? And do you guys ever, I mean, how do you prepare to watch this game? Do you watch it together? You sit there and watch it and scream at the TV and throw stuff when you're watching it? Or how does it work?
Pretty close. Pretty close. Pretty close, John. You prepare. Oh, my God, I could tell you something. I'm just turning away. I'm just looking over here. I have, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 articles, and I have probably, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 pages of information that I write. And so what I do, if I think of something during the week, you know, and if I'm driving or whatever, obviously I can't write it down. And by the time I ever get to where the hell it is I'm going, I hope I can remember what it was that I thought of. But I'm constantly taking notes. And on the day of the game, when we get over to WGN, Dan and I, we sit in the boardroom, and Mark Carmen, and, you know, sometimes somebody else pops in or whatever. But sometimes, and I've heard Mark Carmen say, he said, this should be the show.
I got to say, Ed, a couple years ago, you guys let me sit in with you on my birthday, and it was one of the best birthdays I ever had, watching a Bears game with you and Hamp. Oh, the best.
We had you know, what we do, actually, John, we sit, we have our pads, pencils, we take notes. Sometimes you'll sit there, I won't say something, and sometimes I'll see something, and I'll just turn around to Dan. I said, you see that, you know.
Right.
We communicate that way, but not constant communication. You're more, as we do, we focus on the game and what happened, but it's when something, when somebody you could see that made a mistake or whatever, or the effort wasn't there, that's when Dan would come out of his seat or I would come out of my seat. But most time we're taking notes and trying to visualize and understand, you know, the down distance, you know, what's the time period, what quarter are we in? You're constantly thinking about that stuff all the time.
That would be tremendous work for the producer to make that the show, right, Jeff? Because you'd have to bleep out every
Well, yeah, the, Yeah, certainly the FCC would be involved.
Hey, John, you'd have to put that on Channel X.
Definitely. So do you guys, all right, what are the snacks? Do you guys have snacks, or are you both watching your weight and your wives make celery sticks and peanut butter? What do you do?
You mean beer? During the day? The day of the game?
Yeah, when you're watching it. When you're watching it.
What happens? We don't eat during the game. No. We just, it's like, well, let's see. How was it? It's been the past few years. Just before we go on to do the real show, you know, we'll have something to eat. You know, you calm down a little bit after the game. You know, a few minutes and get set. And sometimes there's enough time where you could eat. And if not, you know, you eat at halftime or whatever. But what's eating is the last thing that I really think about on Sunday, you know.
And in doing the show, there's some trigger. Like it's something comes up, like some trigger, like a mention of a play. A mention of a timeout that shouldn't have been called, something. And all of a sudden, you two guys go, it's like you just said go to two Rottweilers, you know? You just said go, and they just go. It's just amazing.
Hey, Johnny.
And, yeah.
You know, to make a point, what you just said is very important. Because I'll tell you, what catches Dan's eye and my eye is, you know, with the... When you're sitting there and watching, let's take defense, okay? And it's a tight game, and there's certain players that you count on, offensively and defensively, to make the play. Why? Because that's what you're paid to do, okay?
Right.
And I could tell you, the last 2 years, when it's third and long, on defense I'm talking now, when it's third and long, and by that I mean... Third and six, third and seven, third and eight, you know, plus going on up to 12,
right.
You know, but just third long all the time. And then the break the huddle or whatever and pan the Bears sideline, and there's number 52, Khalil Mack, on the sideline. We paid that man about $146 million, and it's third and long, and the one thing that he does is rush the passer. That's why we brought him. And it's third and eight last year. If you think I'm kidding, go back and look at the films. And where's Khalil Mack? He's on the sidelines. He's not on the field.
It's the rotation.
That's what gets my – I come flying out of my seat. And the same with Dan Hampton. What the hell is he doing on the sideline?
I don't – is it like he doesn't – it's not that he wants to be on the sideline. They have their rotation and they have their program and they stick to it. And sometimes I wonder if they just stick to it too much, you know?
Well, I'd rephrase that a little different, John, in my terminology. How about it? It's stupid. It's just stupid. You got one of the best pass rushers in this entire league, and he can cause havoc. And when you need him, where the hell is he? He's on the sideline. That's not winning football to me, John. That's stupidity.
And for the record, he makes about $1 million a game.
Oh, well over
a
million.
More. I think it's a million.
I'm not including the bonuses. I'm just saying his flat cash for this season is $17.6 million. So 17 games, you know, he's $1 million a game.
Well, what he did when he signed his contract, I went through the numbers. and I broke it down to the amount of plays a game that he might play. So he doesn't play every play. So I broke it down to, like, let's say he plays 50 plays a game. I'm talking about Khalil Mack. 50 plays a game. According to his salary, what he makes $30,000 a play. Now, a play could last 1,001, 1,002, you know, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. If a play is 8 seconds, 9 seconds, 10, that's a long play. And every time he does that, Jeff, he makes $30,000 a play roughly in that area, if he plays 50 defensive plays a game.
Jeez. Wow.
So, all right, how old is he now?
I don't know.
He's no kid. He's not a kid. He's
30.
Well, I'd say he's in that probably, what, 29, 30, 31 year old range?
He just turned 30 a couple months ago.
But the kid, he can cause havoc. I'll tell you what. When he's in there, and if he's going, I mean, he can really cause havoc. I'll tell you what, he's one hell of a football player, and make no mistake about that.
Right.
Okay. I mean, he can flat out get it done, but you cannot flat out get it done. I would rather have a Cleo Mack sucking air on the damn field when it's third and eight than standing on a sideline and whoever else is in there. Okay. I would rather have him out on the field. And you want to know what? I'm sure he would probably rather be out on a football field.
Yes, I agree.
But why they take him out, it's anybody's guess.
Oh, they're paying him $30,000 to play, Ed. That's probably why.
They get their program and they stick to it, you know. They have their little, you know, they make their charts and graphs and they have their
crunch, you know, the numbers.
Whatever.
And then
crunch
they
the
feel,
numbers.
Right. They feel the benefit for them. Hey, Ed, while got you, because I want to get this your take on it. I mean, you're a long, you know, lifelong Chicagoan. And the city is different, much different now than it was, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, even, you know, 50 years ago. What's your feeling for the city, you know, seeing a game day, seeing crowds coming downtown? What do you feel about the city? Is it to you seeing it now versus then?
Well, are you referring to basically, say, like a Sunday game, what happens on a Sunday? I'll tell you what, I think it's all pretty much the same. I really do. You know, and this has always been, you know, you take the Blackhawks, you know, the Cubs, the Sox, et cetera, et cetera. I tell you what, this has been, is now, and forever will be a bear town. The Chicago Bears rule this city. Make no mistake about that. And the people, they get enthused. I mean, look at the crowds out there. I mean, it's like every play, they're going crazy one way or the other, you know. And when you go, it's a football game. My God, in the parking lot, the parties, all the food, different, and all the everything, Johnny, and the people meeting new people, new friends, new friendships. It's a happening, you know, 8, 10, 12 times a year. And I think it's a wonderful thing, and I don't think anybody does it really any better than Chicago, because these people love the Bears, and I've been around here my whole life from day one.
You know,
and I tell
you what, Jeff,
I love these.
Jeff, I know where you're going there. The city has changed, but even, you know, and there's violence out in the street now, and
yep.
I guess, you know, I guess if you took a bunch of Bears and put them on the divvy bike, you know, like a group on the divvy bikes, you know, they could go and protect the other people, you know, who are getting hit by the divvy bike gangs. But even during the 60s, Jeff, when, you know, there were problems on the West Side and the 70s, we still went, you know, to the Hawks games. We still loved the Bears. It's like it's our oasis from sports, is our escape from all the crap that's going on in the country and the city. It's our
Johnny,
escape.
Yeah. You know what, John? What we used to do, it would be like Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita, you know, like we play Sunday, kick off like at noontime, you know, it was obviously in the home game. And Bobby would be there and stand. They'd wave. You see him. You're warming up out on the field. You wave to him. And that same night, guess what? They're playing in the old Chicago Stadium. And guess who'd be there? I'd be there. Yes. Mike Ditka would be there. Dick Butkus. Because we had a friend of ours, Mickey Madigan, who had the seats right behind the net, okay, where the Blackhawks come in and out in that front row.
Right.
And we would be there. So I just saw him a few hours earlier. They're waving us, and we're in our our in our you know pads and everything on the field way back, you right. know. Then we go there. Then we're in suit and ties, and they're out on the ice. And that happened. I couldn't tell you how many years, how many times.
Well, that's awesome.
And then on Mondays, wait, you forgot Mondays. On Mondays, when it's freezing out, you're at, like doing autographs like at Mirabelli's, and I'm standing there as a little kid, freezing my ass off outside to get Edelbridge Bradovich's autograph.
We used to do that. I would do that. That was through a friend of ours, Jay McGreevy, and Lou Mirabelli. What a great, great people, that family. And Johnny, what we would do, it would be like myself and Mike Ditka or myself and Butkus. I think a couple of times myself and Mike Pyle, our offensive center, who actually went to New Trier and Yale College. And, but we would make those appearances.
You know, what do you think about the season in the long term? What are the Bears? Where do you think the Bears will end up? Because we're taping this before the game, the first game, and Khalil Mack will be on the sideline and Ed Obradovich will be, and Hampton will be frothing at the mouth. Why is he on the sideline? And Aaron Donald will be playing every down when it's third and short and wreaking havoc on that offensive line for the Rams. But after that, where do you see the Bears ending up?
Well, the last few years, they really had some the better part of a great schedule. I mean, they haven't had... even the year that we went, 12-4, I think, Jeff, of the 32 teams in the league, the Bears had the 32nd easiest schedule, okay? I think the schedule this year is a little tougher. And like, where do I think they'll wind up, John?
I know you want to say Super Bowl, and who knows? It could happen.
Well, that's exactly what you read my mind. That's what I want to say, but, you know, because I don't want to go in negative. But
right.
let me answer it this way, John. Those thoughts, whatever I say now, you say, whatever the newspaper writers say, other commentators say, doesn't matter.
Right.
When they go out tomorrow night, okay, and it is a challenge. The Rams, they've got a pretty damn good football team and they're pretty well coached. That being said, there's only one thing in your mind, and that's victory. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And that's every game, every year you play. You have to have that within you. You can't have a coach come and install that in you. You know, you either have it or you don't, okay? So hopefully we have 53 guys tomorrow night that are going to go out there and, oh, we're playing the Rams. They're a tough team. They got Aaron Donald defensively. They got this guy. They got that guy. No. Your thoughts are to go down there, meet the challenge, and take them down. And so I think it's going to be a tough game for them. And what I would do with the quarterbacks,
what
they have to do, what they have to do is play action. And why play action pass? Wow. Because the offensive linemen fire out at the defensive linemen. At least you get 1,000, 1,002 stagger. So the quarterback can get back and get his reads, or you move the pocket, or you spread out, or you bootleg, John. And I know what I'm talking about. Because if you let your quarterbacks drop back in the pocket against the Los Angeles Rams, he's going to get killed. So how do you combat it? Play action, move the pocket, bootleg, spread out, keep them guessing. Keep them guessing. And that play action is so damn important. That's how you would beat the Rams defense.
Here's what I want to see at the end of, by the end of the season. I want to see the offensive line coalesce. I want to see the defense playing well. I want to see you happy, you and Hampton. I want to see Virginia McCaskey happy and the McCaskey family. I want to see the people of Chicago happy, because you're right. The Bears are the big dog in town in sports. There is no other team. You know, I'm a Fire fan too. we got a ways to go on that club, but I can't thank you enough for being here with us today.
And, God, listen, for you and Jeff, I'd do any. You guys, John, I've read your columns. My God, you talk about a fan. Listen, this Obradovich family is one of your biggest fans, my friend. Believe me on that one.
Thanks. And I hope you guys are my fans when I start charging money for this column.
could I get a loan from you, Dan?
Because, as Don Barzini says, a man can charge for his services, because, after all, we're not communists. Ed Obradovich, thanks for being here on the Chicago Way, buddy. Thank you, and have a great season, and have a healthy and well season for you and your family.
Johnny, it's great being with you. Jeff, too, and thanks, all your people, friends, and family. God bless, God love, and Bears, win the damn Super Bowl. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Get it mental, boys. Be mental.
There you go. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Eddie.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. Bye. For Ed Obradovich, OB, back on the radio pre- and post-game like we like it, right? Smoking hot after a Bears victory or Bears loss. I don't know which is better for radio. It is the best sports radio there you can find. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN, the same station that carries Ed Obradovich. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, friend of Zeus the Wonder Dog, columnist at johncassnews.com. Thanks for being here. Go Bears. Go Fire. And we'll see you the next time on another edition of the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.